Welcome to episode 15 of the Sofa King podcast. This week, we host a segment called Nerd Virgins, in which your three hosts attempt something nerdy they've never attempted before and come back to report it to our listeners. What nerdy book, film, show, or game did we decide on? More importantly, did we become a new fanboy, or were we filled with nerd rage at having wasted our time? Joining us today on our quest to find true geeklyhood is Zachary Smith. Zach is the author of a recent comic book, and he's also sold comics at Comic-Con and other national conventions for the better part of a decade. He'll discuss his thoughts on the current state of the comic book industry and share his insights on how to become a published comic book creator. If you want to break into the comic book industry, you won't want to miss it. So the big question is this: are you a geek or are you a nerd? You'll find out right after we ask Brad to drop that funky intro.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. Retard.
You say funny things.
Good morning, Brad. Have I ever told you how handsome you are?
You don't have to. I already know.
I know. Is that what that mirror's setting by you every show?
No, you know what? Why don't you tell your Dagny story about your radio face, fucker?
I was told I have a face for radio by several people this morning. And then Brad called me a garden gnome yesterday, so whatever. I'm already married. It's fine.
Yeah.
It might be that every time we take pictures of any of us involved in the podcast, like you go from jovial and laughing to like
mean mug,
strange, like meth mad dog.
Meth mad dog. I'll add that to the list of garden gnome, radio face, and meth mad dog. Wow.
So, we have a guest.
We do have a guest.
Hello.
Zach Smith, say hello.
Hello. Hello.
He came on the show today because he is an expert of many nerdy things. And we are today having a nerd-based show. We're going to play the segment called Nerd Virgins, and we're going to talk about a lot of nerdy stuff.
Zach, I thought that was every show, so am I, like, is that just...
That's because you didn't listen to our show before you came on. Just like I didn't read your comments,
exactly.
I looked at three pages. The pictures were nice.
And then Brent walked off like an asshole. Like, oh, that's cool. He didn't do the art. He wrote it.
Yeah,
I know. I didn't want to ruin all the content. If we start talking, we use up all of our talk. Yeah.
That's right. So what's the name of the comic?
It's My Fumato, which is a Japanese word, means road to hell.
Oh, nice.
I took it from Lone Wolf and Cub, which is one of my favorite mangas, and I would argue one of the possibly the best comic ever published, and it was a huge inspiration to me for this book,
and it felt your first tattoos.
It's my second tattoo.
Your second tattoo.
Yeah. Okay. The first tattoo on the other side is Samurai Executioner by the same writer-artist team that made Lone Wolf and Cub.
So what's a manga?
Yeah, I was like, man, outside my nerd box.
I know it's like the big eyes.
Isn't that a fruit? And, it's a fruit of some sort.
It's a. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you put chili powder on it when you read it.
No. It's the female version of a mango in Spanish.
It's manga.
Yeah.
Japanese comic book. That fancy word, you know, if you want to like be one of those douchebags who's like sequential art, and it's like it's a fucking comic book. Call it that. There's nothing.
So, you know. So would you just say that manga is the drawn on a book version, and anime is just the animated version?
Or yeah, that's literally still, it. Yeah. I mean, manga is just a comic book, and anime is just animated film.
Filmed.
Yeah,
yeah,
no different. Like, that's just the medium,
right? So, what did you So you, in publishing it, I know you kind of started with a pretty gradual process that had a lot to do with the main Comic-Con down in San Diego, and I think that's a pretty interesting story. So, like, how did you get the ball rolling and meet your artist and all that stuff?
Yeah, so they have this thing called Comic Book Creator Connection. I actually met him at WonderCon, but WonderCon is also put on by the same exact people that do Comic-Con.
And that one's in L.A.,
correct? That one's in, it had previously been in San Francisco for a number of years. It's the first time I experienced the lovely Tenderloin district of San Francisco was going to WonderCon, which led me to believe that San Francisco is a gigantic heaping pile of shit. And I wasn't exactly wrong, but I've gotten...
What is that? The lovely turn
it's, oh. It's like Florida, but in California.
Yeah. To quote Dave Chappelle, I've never seen crack smoke so freely on the side of the street.
Wow. And you're talking about gay porn, right? You're watching it live?
No, I mean, but there's shit tons of strip clubs and gay porn theaters walking through there.
You know what was weird about San Francisco for me? We went there, and the strip clubs close at like 10. Like, it was like Saturday, and like nothing was open.
The female strip clubs closed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. Maybe that was my problem. Maybe that was the whole issue. But yeah, it was weird.
Maybe they're not really closed to those who know. You just got to knock the right knock.
It's like prohibition. Yeah.
The fire station was open.
They're dancing outside.
Sorry. So you met your artist on Match.com.
Match.com. And then we decided to meet at WonderCon. So they put on that event, and it's basically like speed dating. The writers are basically the overly aggressive male trying to pitch their material, and the artist is the timid female who like doesn't want anything to do with them. And then eventually, hopefully, you meet one that wants something to do with you, and you get a book rolling.
Do you dress up, though? That's the real question.
Oh, no. I can't. I don't know how those fucking people cosplay all
people
day.
Do dress up at this one, though.
Oh, at any convention I've ever been to. So, I mean, even the local ones.
So we discussed mangoes. What's what's cosplay?
Cosplay is costume play. So just dressing up as Batman or whoever the fuck you want.
See, but you went for Batman, which is way too obvious for cosplay. You would, like, a cosplayer would show up as Batman from this one particular graphic novel that was drawn in black and white.
That's
where his
true.
Cowl looks a certain way.
Or they make up their own.
Or they make up their own.
Yeah, like I always wanted to do Batman of East LA. Like just fucking super cholo hard Batman. Like that I think would be fucking sweet as shit.
And cosplay, like when you go to one of those conventions, it's pretty, because I went to Comic-Con for the first time. The only times I've been there have been with Zach, and he was sort of immune to this menagerie of weirdness that was happening around us. But you just, and I went in because he was working at a booth. I got in before the general population got into the Comic-Con, and I walked around and bought some comics, and I was like, oh, this is kind of legit. It's just a giant room full of comics and comic book dealers. And then all of a sudden they announced, we're opening the doors to the fans. And then like the this freaks wave walking. Of weirdness washed. I mean, just thousands of people dressed as things that you don't know. Like everyone is the most obscure cultural, like maybe 1 out of 10. I'm like, oh, that's that one guy.
Oh, there's
oh,
Bane.
That's Bane. Yeah. Oh, that's that guy from that one comic book, or that's from that video game I played. And all the other 9,000 of them, I couldn't have a fucking clue who they were. It's
you
very
just make up something and go.
And they have intense costumes. They have intense. I mean, they have expensive. Like, you'll see some dude in, like, a $10,000 suit of Iron Man armor that he made himself, and you're just like,
I saw that video.
Shit.
That dude was rad. Did missiles popped out of his shoulders and shit. It was all mechanized. That was really
impressive.
Did
you see the video on Facebook, the cosplay dance-off that got awkward? The, like, girls started taking off the clothes?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Slowed to a halt.
Yeah.
Okay, so you meet the artist.
Yeah, I meet the guy. So you're kind of there, and a lot of them have portfolios. You can just see what their style looks like. And I feel going in as a writer for comic books specifically, I have like an art style kind of in mind for the book that I want. And this specifically was a book inspired by Japanese comic books. I wanted something that had that sort of style to it. And when I saw his work, I was like, oh, you already kind of do that. There's tons of blood and gore on here, and that's basically kind of what he said why he clicked with what I wanted to do, is because it was a fuck ton of violence in mine, and he likes drawing that. So
we're gonna recut this when you leave, and it's gonna be all kinds of out of context. This is gonna be good. Yeah. It's gonna be gay porn speed dating. He had a portfolio when we first met him,
and portfolio violence. Portfolios, aka for his type.
Yeah.
So is he the dom or the sub?
That's a good question. I guess I'm the dom because I'm the one dictating everything.
Top power.
We got to make sure he gets
power
a copy
bottom.
Of this podcast.
Power bottom.
Yeah.
Power bottom.
So then once it got it's been several months now.
I met him 2 years ago.
Since the final product was.
Oh yeah. So it got put onto Comixology because they had a they started sponsoring the Comic Book Creator Connection at the conventions and said, if you come up with something, let us know, submit it, and we'll put it on here. And Comixology, for anybody that doesn't know, is basically like an iTunes for comic books. You go on there, you can download anything you want, pretty much.
Can you do subscriptions? Like you subscribe?
Yeah,
to a certain,
you could. I think you can. Yeah, you can subscribe to a specific book, or you can look it up and just do title by title. You know, it's. I think it's great because it's an easy way to like peruse a title without necessarily having to commit to a lot of space and you know money. Yeah. You know, and that's
because it's all digital, right?
It's all digital. Yeah, you can do it on your phone. On your, I mean, obviously, if you have a tablet, it's probably is the best way. Or you can do it from a laptop as well, or a home computer, desktop.
Right.
And so they did that. My artist, he actually did a lot of the work about getting a physical copy done. He started looking into it, and he asked me for my address one day, and I sent it to him. And one day I get a package, and it's the printed book, original piece he did of one of the characters dedicated to me, and then the character, God, the word's escaping me right now, but basically like when you send an artist the description of the character, they'll come up with the character in different poses, so they basically they draw it like without having to think about it,
yeah,
and it becomes routine. And he sent me that of the main character too, so it was like, it was the best surprise I could have ever asked for, because it was like, fuck, here's my actual work in print for the first time. This is amazing.
Dope. So then where would someone go? So they can go to Comixology.
They can go to Comixology for sure and get that. I mean, also, too, if anybody ever wanted a physical copy, you know, that's a little harder, I guess, if you want to buy it from me in person, but you can always just email or hit me up like that way and do it that way. I sell my stuff at First Friday, too.
Yeah, so if you're here in Bakersfield, you can get it at First Friday.
Yeah.
Do you have a web address or an email account or a Facebook that you'd want to...
I have my personal one that people can... And I have a Tumblr for the book specifically, which is myfumato.tumblr.com.
So, and that's M... It. Let me double check.
M-E-I.
M-E-I-F-U-M-A-D-O.
Yeah.
So check them out and check out the comic. But then the ultimate cap of the story just happened a couple of weeks ago when you were at Comic-Con.
Yeah. So I've gone to Comic-Con since 2003. Like every year I work it. Last year was the first time I went, just kind of as a fan, got to walk around. And I'm kind of just burnt out, sick of comic book conventions, sick of the whole thing. Like I've done two cross-country trips the last 2 years working conventions, and I'm just was getting tired. And so I'm like, ah, fuck Comic-Con. I'm not going this year. Then I get an email like, you might be, I was in Ireland at the time. So it was like 3 weeks, 4 weeks beforehand. They're like, you might be featured on a panel because you and your partner created something. I'm like, wow, that's fucking awesome. But I didn't want to go, but now I kind of have to go if I get put on this.
They knew you weren't going to come. So yeah. Like,
just when they think this guy's out, they pull me back
in. This guy's been here every year. He's not coming this year. Send him the email.
They were watching you Facebook. They're like, this motherfucker's drunk in Dublin right now. He's not coming.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And so I get that email. It's an email my artist. His name's Guillermo Guerrero, and he's super excited as well. So we send our stuff back to them, and they say, congratulations, you've been selected. We'll get Guillermo a pass. Once they said that I might be going, I contacted my friend Scott Hudlow, who's the one I work the conventions with, and I said, hey, I might need a badge this year. He was shorthanded for workers again this year, so he asked me to work. I said, sure, I just need to be gone for my panel, you know, on Thursday, and I'll work. And then, yeah, it's basically how it got put together. And then we get there. Guillermo gets there Thursday. He lives in Fresno. He took a Greyhound all the way there that day and then a Greyhound back that night. He was fucking hardcore about it.
San Diego, right?
Yeah. And so what's, you know, Fresno to San Diego in a car is hours?
Six, 7 hours.
Yeah. And then throw the Greyhound?
Hours, yeah.
Fuck.
With a bunch of shitty people on the bus. Yeah. You got Brent's mom in there with her 12 kids.
That's weird. I don't recall any of that.
I didn't know I had 1,100 songs.
I mean, obviously, if you're writing comic books, you know, you've been into it for a long time. So how'd you get into comic books, and what made you stay into comic books? Because, you know, I know Brent was saying he didn't collect comic books, but his friends did. Dave probably, I assume, collects comic
he
books.
Yeah, shit ton. Look at him.
He just fucking eyeball fucked
me. I'm just confused why Brent is saying he had a ton, as if I got rid of them at some point.
Oh.
Yeah.
This guy's got a story.
I collected comic books. They're very select. I did like Lady Death. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Uh-huh, Image Comics, Gen 13.
I love Gen 13. That's one of the first Grindel, I ever read.
You know, Dark Horse stuff. So I did some of that, but I kind of got out of it as I got older and got, you know, family life going on, you know, and so what made you stay? What made you, you know, keep going and how'd you get into it? All that
I'll
stuff.
Break it down real quick. So it started with like comic book cards, like Marvel used to put out these like flare cards and stuff. I loved them for some reason. Like you got the history of the character, you learned like their power levels and stuff. And there were other kids at my elementary that collected them too. So we would talk about them. The artwork was cool. And that went on for a few years. I never really like bought the books. Like my mom or my mom's boyfriend would like buy some here and there. And I never really read them because I wasn't much of a reader at the time. And then I remember buying a Robin trade paperback. That was one of the first purchases I remember making. The next one where I for sure became a collector was the Walmart on White Lane. And I was just looking at the magazine rack. And this is when they still, comics were just, you know, general market.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Walmart had comic books? I had no idea.
Yeah. Like general market. They're like magazines. That has almost disappeared. Yeah. The market stand, newsstand comic book shelf has basically disappeared, which is kind of sucks because that's what I felt got new readers. I mean, that has pulled in thousands of dollars from myself alone for DC and Marvel just by finding that Robin 33 on the rack, bought it, and then it was leading into the first Nightwing comic. So then from there, I started going to Inner Sanctum when Inner Sanctum was still working up on Ming. And then I tried Darkseid first. Because they were closer to my house, but this is when like Chuck and Charles were too cool to like give a shit about anybody walking into the store, and so
wait, no, they've always been like that.
Yeah, but then,
I played Magic there when I was young.
Exactly, you're
like,
probably one of the assholes at the table playing Magic. Who, when I'm trying to buy a comic, they're like, "What the fuck is it? Why are you trying to buy a comic? We're here busy playing Magic." Yeah,
I just like the three perspectives of Darkseid Comics right now because I was the guy sitting next to Chuck and Charles, who was even worse because I didn't even work there and. Didn't have time for anyone who was in there, so I was just sitting there watching people play Magic and buy comic books.
I just picture the snobby guy from The Simpsons in the comic book guy.
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Yep. I have no idea from real perspective. But I'm viewing you guys are all yellow people right now. In my mind, it's all playing out that way.
That's funny.
So that goes on. Go to Inner Sanctum for a while. That's where I bought like Dark Knight Returns and Killing Joke, stuff like that. And then they eventually shut down, and then Chuck moved to White Lane and Newstein further up the road, and that became my regular store for about 10 years. Then I got married, and that shit didn't stop when I got married. It just got moved to the garage instead of my room. So,
let all the guys out there that are still collecting, you can get married and still do this shit when you're grown up.
Well, I got divorced, so I don't know if that was a predicate.
But I will confirm that when I got married, the comics moved into the garage. Yeah. But they didn't go anywhere.
Which, I don't know if Dave's on the same page as I am. I actually didn't mind that because there's perfect rack space in the garage for the books. Yeah. And I'm not precious about comic books. Like, I don't give a shit about the collector value or anything like that.
Temper
like,
control. You have a humidifier out there.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like
that. You must leave, sir. Yeah. You must leave this basement right now.
Like half the time I want to like open a book and just rip it in front of somebody just to piss them off. Like, you can buy the trade right there. No, you read it.
I get you though. Cause I do that same thing with Magic cards. I play Magic and me and my buddies always, people are so crazy about it. You know, there'd be a card worth $10 and you're like, yeah, it's worth $10. You know, I can sell it for $7. And, you know, people are so aggressive about trying to get cards and you're just like, yeah, I don't need this card. And they're like, oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, you could have gave it to me. I didn't want to fucking give it to you.
I wanted to tear it
in front of you and throw it at you, you fag.
This was worth $7.
Yeah. I fucking wipe my ass was $7. So yeah, so I get where you're coming from. You want to do it just because
I just want to, like, and mainly if I'm a collector in any sort, it's to have the book to reread eventually at some point, or to give some. To give or lend out to other people. Like, yeah. I think that's the best thing to do with a comic book is to, once you've read it, and if you intend on keeping it for yourself to reread, give it out here and there to people.
I've never heard that. Dave is selfish with his comics.
I am.
He's never offered me a comic.
Dave has, like, ones that are actually worth money, though. Like, I don't.
Those are the ones I want to read. I don't want to read some shitty comic book. Fucking here's my Tencent comic. No, wow. No. Ooh,
they're still. They can still be pretty shitty and worth money.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, I want. Where's your Superman number one? I want to read that.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, you have a good Uncanny run, right?
Yeah, I have a really good Uncanny X-Men run. Goes back to, like,
what's your
John
address?
Byrne in the 70s.
Don't worry, I'll give it to you later.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I think that's awesome. I mean, that's just like being a movie buff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like no
thousands
different.
Of movies.
Yeah, exactly. So and you lend movies out to people and you talk film. It's the same exact way. And I feel I'm similar with film and music and a lot of other, you know, stuff like that. I just want to consume as much as I can.
Yeah. So my question is, we've already heard a couple of different things here. Based on what you know, do you think you're a comic book nerd or a comic book geek?
I didn't see, and so this got brought up earlier, and I don't understand the difference. Like, I feel they're the same exact
thing.
I think
nerd is, like, super duper. Like, you you fucking...
What?
Super duper. you love that shit. Like, I think because you'll tear it up, maybe you're a geek. Like, I think the nerdy guy, you got married, you have a normal life, you seem like a normal guy, you just love comic books.
I'm gonna go off the hip hop definition, like when you're geeked out on something.
You're,
you know, like
about it.
Well, like you're geeked out on it, like you're excited about it. Like you're just like I would say there's a difference between a nerd and a geek, because the difference is, like, a nerd is just nerdy. Like, they're
like
just
socially
they don't,
inept.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah,
you
yeah.
live in that world, well, and you couldn't operate outside of it.
Well,
you could only hang out with those people.
My friend's definition flipped it. He felt a geek was socially inept and a nerd was somebody that was able to carry on with.
Yeah, you're that dude, like, you don't even collect comic books. You're so nerdy. Like, you're underneath that. Like, you're just so socially inept, you don't do anything. Like, you have no friends. But then, like, if you're a geek, like, you have a group of friends.
I think the geek portion denotes, like, knowledge.
Maybe.
Like a specialization.
Now I'm doubting myself. I'm pulling a Brent right now. Like,
I'll tell you what the interwebs
all
say.
Right.
What do Webster say? Because
I looked on Webster.
What, dictionary.com.
I looked at, like, four or five different websites that were saying what the difference is between a geek and a nerd. And they all pretty much said the same thing. Like, so that I saw this consensus on,
so they're the same thing.
On the web. They, no. All the websites said the same thing. They said that a geek is like an enthusiast and a fanboy who's collection based. So they love something and they prove that they love that thing by collecting it. So I would say that I'm probably not a huge one, but I would say I'm probably a Star Wars geek.
Yeah.
Because I still have all my original action figures when I was a kid. I have a couple of posters up in
like
my office.
Yeah, and you might not be a geek all the time, but you're geek about
certain
things.
Right. That, so if I see a really cool Star Wars thing, I'm going to be like, fuck, that looks awesome. I wish I had the money to buy it.
You have your toys from when you were little?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's yours. You didn't get them at yard sale.
No,
you
they were
the
mine.
One.
I have my original action figures.
So many things got thrown away, yeah.
But then a nerd, according to the web, is knowledge and achievement based, and they want to know everything about a subject, and they dig much deeper than a normal person would go to learn about that subject, but they don't care about mementos or collecting. So I would therefore say I'm probably a Star Wars nerd. Mm. Because I know a shit ton about Star Trek. I know a shit ton about Star Trek. I know all the shows. I know the episodes. I know shit about the culture. Like, I know all this ridiculous knowledge, but I don't own Star Trek collectibles, and I don't care.
I would say that then, yeah, because we're all geeks and nerds about
different
things.
Yeah,
I was completely backwards then based off that definition.
I was too. That wasn't what I would have gone with, but that was what...
And I hit that shit right on the head. Hip-hop saved my life.
So Brent is both a robot nerd and a robot geek.
Maybe. I don't really know a lot about robots, though. I just want them for some reason.
Well, I think the instant you turn a... I'm looking at it right now in the studio. The instant you turn a trash can into a talking robot
over here, like,
that encourages people to throw garbage away, you know a little bit about robotics.
What else was I going to do with a trash can?
That's the logical next step for them.
And you have a fucking motorized wheelchair upstairs that you're going to turn into a moving version of you so you could be out of town and still be at work.
Virtual presence. That's the future.
Yeah,
sure.
So you are both.
Everybody wants to clone themselves so they don't have to go to work. I'm going to do that shit.
I mean, I'm looking at the carcasses of six robots right now.
The weird thing is, like, I look at that shop vac right there. I see robot.
So you're,
it looks like a little robot.
You're both a geek because you love and collect them, and you're a nerd because you have a deep operational knowledge of how they work.
I'm a GERD.
So you are a GERD. You are a GERD. Same thing with computers. Like, you could be a computer geek and you just love computer culture and computer stuff, but if you're a computer nerd, you can fucking code shit in C++ and resolder a...
I don't know if I qualify for either of those really on that one. I don't know.
He just reads the internet and fixes people.
I Google shit and fix it because people are lazy.
So, I think that's cool, man. I think anytime that you can go and do something that has been a dream of yours or something that you really put your heart into and actually have a finished product and, you know, have it in front of you, have it be able to give out to people. You know, even if they're not as passionate about it as you are,
right?
Like, every time you hand that comic book out, you get that, like, this is mine. Like, this is something I did, you know, with somebody else who I think is awesome. And, you know, you're able to put that work out there, and it's just, I think it's fucking great. You know what I mean? Because everybody talks a big talk.
Dave mentioned in the intro about, like, how to get into the comic book business, and I think the simplest way to say it is just fucking do it. Just write, draw, and I mean, we live in the best time possible ever to self-publish.
Yeah,
I mean, you can do so much without, you know, spending that much money. Like, to be honest, like, I've probably put less than $500 into this project, and I don't know how much yet it's yielded me, but that's, to me, that's not a large financial investment compared to back in the day.
$500 for experience, the experience of doing it,
right?
You know, the knowledge of what went into it,
right,
and how to get it done.
Yeah,
it's priceless. And same thing. I mean, Dave knows about self-publishing his book, Shaman New Mexico. Exactly. You can get it on Amazon.com.
Yeah, it really goes. I mean, these days that goes for anything. Anything you're passionate about, and you want to do. Like, don't let it
stop
you.
There's no excuse.
People plan and plan and plan and plan. Like with this podcast, we wanted to do it. We were like, "Fuck! I got some mics in a box when Brent had band practice and a ski mask,
and
we made
funny.
A pop stop, like, and just did it."
And it's funny because none of us. Well, Brent listened to, you know, one podcast. I don't know what Dave. We talk about it. Like, I don't listen to podcasts. I never did. And we're just like, let's do it. Like, let's do a podcast. Like,
right.
Why not? So, you know, and here we are with thousands of people who've heard the podcast now, and we've got guests on. So it's the same thing, you know, in a sense of, you know,
or starting a business or anything.
Anything.
You're never ready. Yeah. Like, you just have to, you can write everything
having
on
a baby.
Paper. Yeah, that shit's not going to work out. Something's going to go wrong. You're just going to have to deal with it. Just do it now.
Just do
deal
it.
With it. Yeah.
I read the transcript of a panel that was at some conference in Germany or something, and Elon Musk and Richard Branson were both on this panel discussing business and success and all this stuff. And they both said in the same panel discussion that their biggest successes that they had in business were the businesses that they were the least ready to start. And that all that, like, when
it's
Richard Branson,
it forces you
right,
to learn
he was
about
like,
it.
Oh, fuck it, I'm going to start a record company. And everybody said, do you know anything about music? He was like, nope, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And then he got really big with Virgin Music, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a fucking airline.
Spaceship.
And it's like, what? And it's, I mean, he's just like, fuck, what do you know about airplanes? Nothing, but there's a lot of smart dudes that do, and I can hire them.
Yeah, and the greatest thing about something like that is, you know, and I'm sure we can all account for this, is that you get into it, and then you come from outside of the box.
Right.
You're not stuck in that box that everybody else is stuck in. So when you're outside of that box, you come with different ideas and do different things and go about and approach it differently.
Yeah. And I think what has been nice about this isn't my day job right now. Like, I teach for a living, and this is just something I do as a hobby and as a passion. So I'm less, like, I don't have to play by anybody else's rules. Like, it's mine, and I can do it however I want. And I mean, that obviously comes with cost, whereas, like, I'm promoting myself and all that. But it's, you know, that's kind of worked out with Comixology promoting the book as well and stuff too. So I think it kind of what you were saying about from coming outside of the box, like I don't have to do all the same things that other people have done because I am.
Just, and you can take a chance. You can do something and see if it'll work. Exactly. It's not going to kill you.
What do you teach?
English.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck. What, what age?
Dave was actually
I should have guessed that if you're a writer, yeah. Where do you teach? Like, what age do you teach?
I teach 8th grade middle school at Washington. Nice.
We'll make sure I'll post something on their page so they can hear their teacher cuss and say crazy stuff.
They don't have to listen to podcasts.
We're going to cut in. What do you do for a living? I murder children. Yeah.
There was a lot of blood and violence. Yeah. I was really interested when I met the guy.
I say that on the first day of school. So, like, don't piss me off.
So, and then when you were at Comic-Con this year, you got to give your comic to...
I got to give my comic to a few different people, but the highlight was giving it to Grant Morrison, who is my all-time favorite writer. He's been doing comics. He started, you know, self-publishing himself, and he's been doing it for almost 40 years now. I mean, since he was 17.
And what are some of the big ones that he did? Because I know people aren't going to know the name, but they're going to know his stuff.
He's worked on, like, a ton of titles that everybody would know, Batman, Superman, X-Men. Trying to think of, like, they recently did like the animated All-Star Superman film based on his Superman run.
Superman run was great.
Yeah. And then he has like other smaller, like independent ones that were a huge influence on me as well, like The Invisibles, The Filth, We Three, stuff like that. If anybody gets a chance, read that stuff. It's
how did that go down? You got to meet him and hand it to him.
Well, so I'm working the booth and, my friend Angel had left, but I told him, hey, dude, keep a watch for if Morrison's doing any more signings this weekend. And he texted me from home. He's like, hey, he's at the DC booth right now. Because I never really get to leave the booth. It sucks because Scott's a tight ass and he like worries that somebody's going to steal all of his comic books.
I like this guy. He's just putting everybody on blast. Fucking Chuck and Charles are fucking cocksuckers.
Bro, what's Scott's last name and Facebook? What is that?
So I head over there with my book. I'm like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. Take my book with me. And he's there and Jim Lee's there. And I'm sure more people have heard of Jim Lee. I mean, massive X-Men runs, you know, starts Image Comics.
Yeah, he did the Wildstorm. According to Jim.
No.
No?
That's Jim.
Bruce Lee's brother?
Oh,
that's Jim Belushi.
Oh, Jim Belushi. Oh, fuck.
Something
Jim
Belushi.
Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, something anyway to do with manga.
Yeah. Yeah, manga. He ate a lot of mangoes.
And, I get over the line. The line's capped off because Jim Lee's one of the biggest artists still in the industry. Nobody wants, you know, they're like, oh, only a certain amount of people. But they're both signing at the same time, more people in line for Lee. So I asked the line attendant, I'm like, hey, I'm not trying anything signed. I just want to give this to Grant. You think that'd be a problem? And the guy is just a dick. He was like, oh, he probably won't take it. And just, you know, just totally denies me. I'm like, okay.
Like, well, I didn't ask you.
Well, it was like your mixtape. Like, let me go. That,
yo.
My thing is, like, I'm not trying to take up anybody's time. He's free because most of the people are in line for Lee. He's just kind of sitting there. So when a break comes in again, I just reach over the barrier. I said, hey, Grant, you're my favorite writer. This is my first published book. You know, I'm just going to give it to you. And he said, that's great. Would you mind signing it for me? Which I, for some reason, like in the multiverse of universes, I never occurred to me that he would ask me to sign it for him. So it was just like,
can I borrow your pen?
Yes, I did. I had to borrow his pen to do it. And I didn't know what to write. That didn't sound horribly trite. So I just wrote trite, you know, continuing inspiration to me, and then gave it back. He left early because not as many people were in line for him, and I asked, hey, can I get a picture with you? And we got a picture. He held the book up. So it was a great.
You know what the baller move would have been? To charge him for the signature.
Oh, like, I could, but it's $5. And then be like, no, I'm just kidding. That's funny. But seriously.
You know what I heard? Carrie Fisher's signature is like $75.
God damn.
Mark Jesus. Hamill's $110. This was because I had friends that went to the celebration, the Star Wars celebration thing at Anaheim.
These guys are too much.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, that's the thing.
Well, you know, though, some of these guys don't make money off of
Yeah, but they're in the new Star Wars. I mean, they're going to make a bunch of money again. They're fine.
You never know what their deal is.
True.
No, my my friend who wrestles, Rob, when he goes to whatever, I mean, people will invite him to just do a signing because he's a professional wrestler, Rob Van Dam, and he'll go to, like, he went to Vegas one weekend to do a signing, and I met up with him right after he got back, and I was like, how'd Vegas go? And he was like, oh, it was pretty cool. I'm up $5,000. And I was like, oh, good gambling. And he was like, no, that was just from a day of signing autographs.
Yep.
Like, yeah, trying to make money.
I tried to follow him on like Instagram a couple days ago, but there's like there's fake ones and shit because he's that kind of famous.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you have to get like I can't remember how you do it. You'll see like a check mark next or something next to it.
Instagram is different though. I think I don't know the verified. Oh yeah, it's probably the real Rob Van Dam. That's probably what it is.
So then, now that we've established a room full of nerdiness, I think it's time that we briefly do our nerd virgins.
Discussion. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That was kind of the whole point here. So my thought was several weeks ago that everybody in this basement is a nerd or a geek about something, and I'm just going to use the term nerd to cover all of the above from this point on. But there's a ton of shit out there that's nerdy, that has huge followings, that people collect, that people are into. There's so much stuff out there. No one can nerd out about everything. And I thought it might be interesting to have us each experience something that people nerd out about for the first time ever that we've never done, and then come back and give it a rating. Give it a thumbs up, give it a thumbs down, try to figure out why people nerd out about this thing and see if we agree or if we disagree. And this is the concept behind nerd virgins. So I don't know who wants to go first and talk about their the popping of their nerdy cherry. All right, go for it.
So, yeah, I didn't know what I was going to do because I'm kind of nerdy. I mean, I'm not on your guys' like magic card playing level, but I have played Munchkin
before.
You know
what, motherfucker?
I'm going to start out with an insult to bring my friends down.
Magic is a
up.
Strategy game, okay?
It's not real, though.
Yes, it is real. It's cards.
All right.
They're physical.
So my like wife computers is real. Is a geek or nerd about Doctor Who. Like, she watches the fuck out of Doctor Who. She's seen like every episode. My wife, Kim.
Does she own any Doctor Who stuff?
Who's the doctor?
She has like last birthday was she just wanted Doctor Who shit. She has like a little TARDIS that lights up, a Doctor Who sketchbook, a blanket, socks, a beanie,
lingerie.
Necklaces, lingerie. There's like a
so she is a Whovian.
TARDIS toys. I'm just kidding.
She's a Whovian.
Whovian, I guess, is the term. That's I just the term learned that. They yeah. Use. Yeah.
So what's the doctor's name?
There's lots of doctors. And there's like, okay. And I don't even know that they do know their names, but it's like the 12th doctor.
So you sound
doctor.
Confused already. Let's get into this.
Yeah, I was. That shit's constantly on in the background.
So wait, now, so who in the room knows Doctor Who fairly well?
I don't know. Well, it. I know of it.
I've never seen it.
I've watched one episode.
I know that Doctor Who is a thing.
Yeah,
show,
I'm a Whovian. I've just for the Whovians out there, I haven't watched any of the Peter Capaldi episodes, the latest season. So maybe that makes me a lame Whovian, but I've the other ones. I'm a big Doctor Who fan.
You watch the '60s shit, like all the black and white?
I did when I was a kid, but I haven't rewatched them because they're kind of harsh.
Fucking rough. Like it was kind of cool though, because my kid was like, "Dad, how come it's not color?" And I was like, well, because it was black and white back then, buddy. They didn't have color. And he was like, the whole world didn't have color?
I used to
color?
Think that as a child. I used to think that. Like when I was little, so I used to think the world existed in black and white during
like
my grandma's.
It was like Pleasantville.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I was like, no, awesome. No, buddy. The camera just couldn't see the color, so they couldn't put it on TV. So I thought that was kind of cool to see.
And so for anyone who doesn't know, Doctor Who is a British show on the BBC, and it's been on and off the air since the 1960s. This continuous show, Doctor Who. And the way that they still make it happen is they'll get a British actor who plays Doctor Who for a couple of years, and then when that actor decides to quit the show or gets fired or whatever, the Doctor, since he's a Time Lord, regenerates when he dies and becomes a new version of himself with a slightly different personality.
Which I think is a good way to keep the lead actor in check. Like if that fool gets all fucking diva, they're like, hey, buddy, you might regenerate next episode. Maybe you don't need fucking $1 million per episode. Like,
I have seen that. It's with Mike Myers, Austin Powers.
No.
Oh.
So another weird observation I made, because I tried to be like legit and go to episode one, season one, 1963, and I fucking made it like 15
you
minutes.
Fucked up.
I just couldn't do it, man. It was rough. I was like, I gotta push through this. I gotta push through it. But I hated it. I hated it. But one thing I noticed was when I was looking on Netflix, season two didn't come out till 1967. So those people had to wait. Like, we can't even wait.
Right.
like we binge watch shit.
Yeah.
They had to wait, I don't know how many months between episodes, but they, or maybe it took that many years to get, it took like three or four years to get through the first season. And we can go through The Sopranos in like fucking a week.
Couple days.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like fucking shoot through it.
I heard that too, the way the BBC is structured also affects like how they put seasons together.
How it can come out like that?
Yeah, because it deals with funding and everything.
Well,
and
oh, that's true, because all the TV is part of the government, basically. Yeah.
Well, it was cool, too, because it was so new. Like, camera angles, like, the whole perspective of everything they were trying to do, it was just, like, you know, it was weird. You're like, they're just, like, hovering in fear and, like, these weird camera angles on their face, cheesy-ass makeup. And I was trying to do it, and I couldn't do it. So finally, a couple other nerds, Neil and his wife, told me to watch an episode called Blink, and then to ask my wife about Blink. And when I got home, I said, I'm supposed to watch Blink. And she went crazy, like, oh, that's the episode. That's the one. That's the one. And I was like, this must be good. Like, out of fucking 15 seasons and fucking 80 years of Doctor Who, everybody's talking about this episode. So if this shit sucks, it all fucking sucks. So I watched Blink, and I can never look at a statue again. They're fucking scary as fuck now.
Because, like, it was dope, wasn't it?
I have to
is
say.
Is that those Weeping Angel statues?
The Weeping Angels. Yeah. But Doctor Who's, like, not in that episode at all. He, like, makes some little, maybe that's why that episode's good, because he's not even fucking in there.
No, he's not in it very often.
He walks by on the street one time and grabs, like, a fucking transcript, and he's on some Easter eggs on a fucking VHS tape or some DVDs or something. Which is weird, but it was cool because of the whole time sequence thing. Like, people get shot back in time, and every time you blink or close your eyes, these evil angel statues, like, every blink, they're like 6 feet closer to you, and if they touch you, they will fucking send you back in time like 100 years, and then you'll just be like an old man in a hospital bed, you know, three blocks away in real time.
So you're afraid to blink?
I'm scared to blink.
As soon as they're not looked at, they can move.
They can move.
So if you're staring at one, every time you blink, it's like another foot closer to you because you weren't looking at it for a second. Hmm.
But then I finished that episode and tried to watch two more, and it was really fucking rough. But that was season three. So, I went back to season one, and I'm trying again. I'm not going to give it a thumbs up or thumb down. That one episode was okay. I'm going to go ahead and give it a chance. Like, I need content. I need something to watch. I'm going to try. Lots of people are into it. There must be something there. I got past Next Generation super cheesy Star Trek shit. And I liked it, like, after that Ferengi weird.
The thing to keep in mind about Doctor Who is, A, it's really, I mean, I read a lot of sci-fi, I watch a lot of sci-fi. Doctor Who does episodes that are as far fucking out there. It's like, oh, it's the year 478,000 and fucking cat people are on the Earth. And you're like, what? And they just set up this shit and fucking go for it. And it's also kind of tongue-in-cheek because they have villains from the 60s that are still their villains right now, and they look exactly like they did in the 60s. The Daleks, for an arm, have a paint roller without the sponge roller, because that's what they used in the 1960s. And when they have brand new CGI Daleks, they still have a paint roller for an arm, because they're like, that's what a fucking Dalek looks like. Like, they don't make any apologies for how bad shit used to look. They just keep rolling with it.
I respect that.
And
my kids have sonic screwdrivers and shit. I didn't know what any of that was about. Like, it opened my eyes.
I just have to tell you, I'm not interested.
No, right? Yeah.
So you give it neither a thumbs up nor a thumbs down.
That Blink episode was good. I'll give it that. Right. It captured me. It captivated me. But I don't know as a whole. The 60s shit, I mean, it's just rough. No.
Me, as a Doctor Who fan, I would recommend that you start with the new re-releases that came out recently. And watch. Because even yesterday I was trying to tell you episodes to watch, and every single episode that I thought was a really good episode, you couldn't watch because it's part of an overall storyline. It ties in with it. Like, you just wouldn't have understood the episodes, and they would have had
Night I tried to watch season one, episode one of the new releases, and I have to say that the Rose Girl is not hard to look at, so like, I might be able to make it through at least 12 more episodes.
You know, just take it with a grain of salt. You're taking advice from a lame Whovian.
That's true. I am a lame. Yeah. I don't know that I am a Whovian.
I think
he's scared. He's scared to claim that stat.
I am scared to claim this. A Whovian wouldn't have stopped watching the last season.
I wish I had a weeping angel behind you on a string. I wish we had planned that and put a weeping angel right behind you.
Painted it on the little
I'm gonna get one. We're gonna make one.
Yeah, there's an angel on the monolith.
Damn it.
So
I'm gonna project
mine is, I did Munchkin with, and this is, I had seen it played, and I maybe have played one round or something like that, but people like fucking nerded out about Munchkin. Like,
people love Munchkin.
Yeah, and
my family up in Oregon, and there's like tons of like weird sub Munchkins.
Yeah, Munchkin zombies and fucking.
I played zombie
all
Munchkin.
Kinds of shit. And so I didn't have really anybody else to play with because all of my other nerd friends are fucking cock sucking douchebags, Bubby. And
are we on that list? Huh? That list? All is pretty inclusive. I feel offended right now. I'm on that list.
It is inclusive. All right. Yes. and so like I was like I told my girlfriend, you know, she was like and you know, if you listened to us before, like I played Magic the Gathering and I played it ever since I was young, so it's like a nostalgic thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so it keeps me like it takes me back to good memories when I play it until I start playing it and see the cocksuckers that are playing across the table from me.
I would go so far as to say that you are a Magic nerd.
Yeah, I am. I collect it, sell it, like all that stuff. Like, I don't have any cards right now because when I don't play, I just get rid of the shit. Like, I don't give a fuck. Kind of like comic books.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck if the card's worth $300. Fucking, I'll sell it, make some money off it. If I need it again, I'll buy it. And she was kind of interested in Magic, and Magic's fucking difficult. If you've never played it,
it is.
Or anything similar to it, it can be very tedious and just fucking confusing. So I was like, well, Munchkin should be easy. Like I've seen it played and it's not that hard. It's like you flip these cards and you try and level up. Like, how hard is that? You know, like, and you fucking,
if you've never played a card game though, because I hadn't, it was confusing as fuck.
So yeah, so Bryn's played it. So I'm trying to read the instructions because I literally have no idea how to play. And I try and read the instructions, and I'm like, oh, and I'm going through these fucking instructions, and they're already starting to piss me off. Because I'm like, if you knew how to play and you read the instructions, you'd be like, oh, okay, like this is how it works. So I'm reading the instructions, and it doesn't really give you details. It just kind of says these things that tell you how to set the game up.
Right.
But it doesn't tell you exactly how it works. So you're kind of guessing. And in these games, you can make your own rules kind of, you know, sometimes for house rules and stuff like that. So I figure maybe that's why they leave it open on some of these things. But
right.
Basically, you have some cards in your hand and you can lay some equipment out in front of you because it gives you extra power to fight monsters when you open the door, and opening the door is flipping open a top card of the door deck.
Okay. Deal with whatever's on that
card. And you got to deal with whatever's on that card. So if it's a level 4 monster and you're a level 1, in order to beat that monster, you have to have 5 or higher in power, and the equipment that you put out in front of you gives you the, you know, power. It gives you extra power.
Part was weird. Your friends can help you, though.
Your friends can help you, or they can fuck you.
Yeah, or and then like, so, you have to pay them a card, but there's set thing. Like, I want 2 cards, and I'll help you. No,
yeah, because it's just, yeah, if you want them to help you have to do what they say. Or, yeah, you give me treasures. So basically, you beat the monster if you can. If not, you have to run from it and roll a dice. And if you don't run from it, you lose a level, you know, and blah, blah, blah. The goal is to get to 10. And you have to beat the monsters and whatnot before your opponent does. So you have a round table of friends who are playing. So I'm trying to figure this out with my girlfriend, who is not, you know, card game literate.
I'm going to say edit in fiance. Go ahead. You get
well,
to cut
fiance,
that back up,
girlfriend, wife, save whatever. It's right. A girl that lives with me.
Ooh, and you just said whatever. You better cut that part out, too.
It's all the same. It's all the same. Everybody knows that.
Cut.
Just because you're scared of your wife, Brent, shut the fuck up.
I'm just saying. I'm a guy to guy. I'm trying to help you out, man.
I was just gonna say something. That was your censor.
You know what I
for
said?
My friend.
I would have been like, cut.
Censor for my friend. anyway, so she's like, I'm not getting this, and I'm like, what aren't you getting? And she's like, I'm just not getting it. And I'm like, what? What aren't you getting? And so I start getting fucking mad. Like, I'm like, what? You have to tell me what you're not getting so I can explain to you what exactly it is that you're not getting, you know? And she's like, I you know, and I got kind of mad, and she fucking looked at me, and I was like, oh yeah, this game's over. Like, we're fucking done here. Like, she was pissed. And cause I was an asshole. It kind of made me like, I got upset. Cause I was like, I don't know.
You don't know either.
I'm confused. Yeah. I'm confused already. And then you're not telling me what you're fucking confused about. And like, you know, so we kind of finished it out, but it really wasn't as fun. I mean, I know you need more people and, you know, probably make it fun to have some real nerds at the table, but you know,
I tried it twice with some nerd friends of mine And there was times where they're like, oh, I don't know. Let's see. If you have a level 5 monster and you knock down the door and then you have the like fucking cloak of invisibility and the shopping cart of death, like there's such weird shit on there. They were like, I'm not sure what happens. Pat, what does he do here? I don't know. It was weird. Yeah.
So I don't know. So it's kind of like a bullshit game of Dungeons and Dragons, I guess. Like,
so, you know, like, so what's your final rule? Like,
I think
thumbs
it'd be,
up,
I think
thumbs
it'd be,
down,
I think it
bullshit.
Could be cool. I think it could be cool if you're drunk.
Okay.
Like if you're just fucking drinking, like, hey, you fucking didn't get away from the monster. Guess what? You get 8 shots.
Oh.
Make a drinking game.
Or you have to drink as many shots as the power level of the monster is. So if they're like, it's a level 20 and you can't beat it and you don't
you
run,
have to do 21
you're 20 shots.
Oh, is there an ambulance card?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be fun because, like, you know, good drinking game. So,
you would only play it again. So you don't understand the nerdy passion behind it?
No, I think it's, I think it's all right. I mean, I just think that you, I think you have to be in a mood for it. Like I said, I think it would be a good drinking game. I think it gets kind of monotonous once you have like a lot of gear and you're just killing everything that comes out. It's like not that hard.
Does this tie into it? Because this happens to me. When I've played other card games that try to get sophisticated and they're not magic, mm-hmm. the whole time I'm playing them, all I'm thinking
you're
is...
fucking tapping cards.
Boo.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I cut that out. Sorry.
The whole time I'm playing a card game that isn't Magic, I'm just thinking this would be a lot funner if it was or fucking magic.
Yeah.
Like it's just such a fun game that every other card game I play is just like a weak version of it, I think.
Yeah. That's my buddy Bob, God bless his gay soul. He's playing a new card game.
Did he
Magic
die?
With him. No, but I hope he does.
he died of something. God bless his gay soul.
He plays this game now, which I actually almost did it for the sake of Nerd Virgins. I was going to go play it. And it's called Weiss Schwartz. And it's Japanese manga fucking card game. And he's like all over it.
With a German name.
I was hoping it was a Spaceballs game because you said the Schwartz, and I was like, I got excited for a second.
Yeah, no, it's like some manga card
every time you roll the dice, you have to put a ring on your wiener, on your Schwartz. Yeah. And if your Schwartz isn't as big as the other guys, you run out of ring room.
Wow. Right.
And you have to start putting them on your fingers.
I think that's the game.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I was going to play that, but I didn't.
Eighth graders are going to hear this.
And Zach, you participated in some Nerd Virgins as well, right?
Yeah. I met this girl last week and we were talking. She's like, you've never watched Bob's Burgers? I was like, no.
She was a nerd and she was a virgin. This doesn't count. You have to start over.
Nerd, Bob's yes. Burgers. And so I started watching it this last week and it's really good. Like,
This is the animated Fox show. I've heard like people fucking love this thing.
It's really people cosplay as Bob's Burger characters and I see it a lot on like Tumblr and stuff when I'm scrolling through and it's funny. I mean, it's a good show. It's really good.
Is it similar to like Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Well,
like,
it's not that crazy. It's more grounded in reality. Like I think the closest thing I would first compare it to is like a King of the Hill where it's still very grounded in reality, but all the characters have their quirks and stuff. And it's fun because it's not just a crazy dad like or son like in The Simpsons where it's just Homer and Bart get up to crazy.
Except for the young daughter with the little rabbit ears. She kind of takes the show though.
Louise is really funny. I definitely give that show a thumbs up. Like I didn't feel like doing crap yesterday because I was super hungover. So I just watched most of the second season and it's really easy, you know, turn it off, turn on. You can jump in, I feel, at any point.
What was up with that? Why you just screw season one, just went straight
to season two? I had already watched all of season one. And I was on season one.
This is how I do it.
That's how I roll.
If I can jump in the middle of a season and watch it, then that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
So I definitely give that one a thumbs up.
So you understand the nerd hype behind
it? Yeah, I definitely agree with it. And I got burnt out because I got sick of Family Guy after that South Park episode, which totally made fun of Family Guy. I couldn't see it the same anymore. And we don't have cable anymore, so I can't watch South Park. So I've just been like not watching a lot of cartoons. And then I was like, all right, well, the whole thing's on Netflix, which is awesome. So
you can get SpongeBob on there.
Yeah, I don't fuck that show. No.
You don't like SpongeBob, really?
No, I don't have kids. Oh, you're just offended, Brent. I just don't.
No, I know grown men with no kids that watch fucking SpongeBob, dude.
Well, because you end up watching it because your kids watch it, I think is what happens. But there's a bunch of adult humor in there. That shit's funny.
Yeah, it is.
I like SpongeBob.
It's annoying, though.
I've never seen SpongeBob.
Really? You're missing out.
Maybe that'll be.
I know. That's what my students say. They freak out. They're like, "You don't watch SpongeBob, Mr. Smith?" Well, no.
It's really fun. Mr. Smith. Mr. Anderson. Smith.
So my nerd virgin experience ended up being the first Hunger Games.
Book or film?
Actually both, but the book for, because I'm working on a piece of fiction that I'm writing, and I keep debate, like, the storyline would work perfectly if I made it two teenagers instead of two guys in their late 20s.
Gotcha.
And I keep thinking marketing wise, if I made it teenagers and kind of made the tone a little bit less fucky and bloody and sweary,
more glisteny vampire.
Then I could really easily tailor this to a really big market. But then I thought, I've never read anything. I've never read fucking Harry Potter. I've never read the fucking Maze Runner. I've never read any books at all in
Harry
Potter's genre.
I like Harry Potter.
I love Harry Potter.
Yeah. Right. I've never read it. I've never watched it. Nothing. And I was
you never watched it either?
Nothing. I know nothing about Harry Potter except there's like a creepy guy in a potato sack that like Mambla hides in his bedroom or something.
What are you talking about?
That's a different
show. That's my only knowledge.
Okay, so let's go back. You know nothing because I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, then I do know nothing. Mambla? There's a little creepy Yoda looking golem thing in a potato sack.
About Dobby. You know why? Because you're probably talking about the book, and I haven't read the book, and I bet in the book he's in a potato sack or some shit.
Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about Dobby, I bet.
Yeah.
Creeps me out.
Yeah, that's different.
Anyway, that's what I know about Harry Potter. But I thought, I'm going to read this. A lot of people I know say, no, it's actually a good book. You should read the first Hunger Games. And I read it, and I'm the first to admit it was actually a really good book.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the book. I was just waiting for it to be dog shit with like a catchy story, but it was fairly well. It wasn't like super literary mind blowing, but it was a good book. It was well done.
And it keeps you engaged.
It kept totally. I couldn't put it down. I read the thing like cover to cover and I was very happy that I read it. And then actually when I was in Oregon, it was like rainy outside when we were at the beach, and we ended up holed up in the hotel for a couple of hours, and the movie came on cable and my niece wanted to watch it, and we watched the movie, and the movie isn't, I wouldn't.
Immediate snob. The book was way better.
No. I enjoyed the movie, but I wouldn't have enjoyed the movie if I hadn't read the book.
Oh, really?
See, like I watched the film first, and my ex was reading the book at the time, and I was so engaged by the film, I was like, I'll read it after she's done.
There was so much development in the book that I kept seeing parts of the movie, and I was like, oh, and this is the part where all that shit happens, and then that didn't happen.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, but that's cool. I know. Yeah. You know, I know that
happened. Yeah, I don't read, so I just watched
the movie. Did I have trouble? The last book I read was Lord of the Rings stuff. And it was that. I saw the movie, wanted to know what happened, and then immediately went to like Barnes & Nobles and bought the whole series, and I read Two Towers, Return of the King, and then that was the last books I read. I'm on page 60 of Dave's book once again in the underworld drawer.
You're still on page 60.
Because I didn't read anymore yet. Because I didn't read anymore. It's not like I opened it, looked at it, and stayed on page 60. I just haven't continued.
So are you going to move on to Catching Fire?
I believe I will. I don't want to watch the movie. I want to read the book.
That's my favorite of the
books. See, I didn't like it.
I loved it.
I didn't read the book. I'm talking about the movie.
Yeah. So, no, I love the. I thought the film version was really good too.
I didn't like it as much. I liked the first one, and it's because have you ever seen Battle Royale?
I love Battle Royale. That's what I thought Hunger Games was just basically ripping off. So when I watched
and
it,
the first
read
one, it kind of was.
Like, it is a little bit.
They took a little bit from it.
For sure.
They really did take a little bit from it.
Are there pictures of Jennifer Lawrence in the book?
No.
Then we're not reading it. Brent are on the same page.
You can keep like a tablet open though and have her picture there while
that's
you
true.
Read the book.
Sounds like you've
done something similar. Sounds like you have too.
Sounds like this has been done. You can keep a tablet right there.
So that your hands
book.
Can turn pages.
Yeah.
I mean it's free, just swipe. You just keep your photo library ever open.
You have to be careful not to get lotion on your tablet.
I just watch Silver Linings Playbook while I read the book.
There you go.
No, but I was waiting for Hunger Games to be an unmitigated piece of shit, and it was actually really fucking good.
Yeah,
I understand why people are fans. Yeah. I kind of put it on this in my mind before watching it. It was on the same level of dog shit as Twilight. These are in the same camp. And again, I haven't seen
Really aren't.
I've seen about seven minutes of Twilight on like passing by in channels so and thought, wow, that's fucking horrible.
And what surprised me about Hunger Games was because it's young adult content, it's full of death.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and lots just of, tons just and tons of it.
Kids and getting kids, murdered.
Yeah. Kids and murdering each awesome other, part. Too. Like, yeah, it's not just they're getting murdered by adults. You know, they're killing each other, too.
I found that new, or actually it's not even new, is when Danzig was in The Misfits, it's one of my favorite new songs now, The Last Caress.
I don't know.
You know, I killed a baby today.
Oh, yes.
You know that one? That, yeah. I raped your mother today. You never heard that song?
Oh, man. I heard the silence following it.
That's pretty good.
That's what awkward sounds like.
That's pretty good. One of my new favorite songs.
Thanks.
So so we went through our nerd virgins and how, you know, things we did that we hadn't done before and if we liked them or didn't like them. So I have a little quiz of actually how nerdy are you? And this is 37 questions to test your wife's nerd knowledge. Are you ready, fellas?
Your wife's nerd knowledge.
Okay. Yeah.
Did we just get wifed
we,
up?
Yeah, we did. We are for the
power bottoms.
Okay, wifeys, here we go.
For the next 37 questions, we are Brad's bitches.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So,
but if he can't answer them, then is he our bitch?
You have the answer in front of you?
You motherfucker. Oh. Okay. So we could do this. I'm going to ask the question since I have them in front of me. And if you think that I might not know the answer, you can challenge me. If I lose the challenge, it's a point against me, right? So you guys have to beat me.
That's a lot of scorekeeping. I say you just ask. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
37. I got lost when we did like fucking news or bullshit on 10.
First person to shout it out.
All right. There you go.
Here we go.
Blue.
Live long and
prosper.
Prosper.
Zach with the one.
You guys turned the robot. Prosper.
Should we do buttons? Like you have to yell something and I get to call you. All right. What is Iron Man's real name?
Tony Stark.
Come on, Brent. You fucking slacker.
I'm not playing.
Are you willing to cosplay? That's a question.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I won that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did win that one.
If it's convenient.
What is the popular Wookiee's name from Star Wars?
Chewbacca. Chewbacca.
Who is the princess Mario is always trying to
Peach.
Save?
Ooh, damn. Fast.
Damn. He's fucking quick.
He is quick. You better step that game up, Dave. Better step that game
what she
up.
Said.
The fan named Jumpman from the original Donkey Kong video game is known as who?
Mario.
Damn.
Fuck.
Can't come back.
You want me to shut
back.
His mic off, Dave?
No, we brought him here because he has a particular set of skills.
What is the cannibalistic group of humans called in Josh Whedon's popular TV series Firefly?
Oh, that one I don't know because I didn't care for Firefly.
I tried to watch Firefly so I could watch Serena.
Reavers.
That's right. Yeah. Reavers. That's right. Brent is in the lose position.
I'm in the lead of losing. I'm the first loser.
What popular Marvel film from 2012 did Josh Whedon write and
Avengers.
Direct? Damn.
It's like as soon as I'm thinking the answer, he's already said it.
He's got 2012 Marvel, bam, Avengers.
Yeah, I had to like, I just have to narrow it down.
What is the name of the fictional artificial intelligence from the Halo game series?
Cortana.
I don't play Halo.
Is it really? Because that's what Microsoft named the real AI that they're coming out with right now.
Yeah, that's why they named it that.
That's awesome.
Weird.
In what year was the arcade game Pong created?
Ooh. 79.
Is that right?
78. Just because we don't know.
77.
It's like Price is Right. $420.
You're all wrong. 1972.
Oh, damn. Shit.
Dave was alive.
What was the first game released on a commercial gaming console that was in 3D?
Rad Racer.
Ooh, that was in 3D. I have no idea.
It was Rad Racer.
You're wrong, Brent.
I don't know. I had an answer, bitches.
Damn.
Really?
I blew that shit up. I don't know.
He fucking dropped the mic.
He dropped the mic for real.
Dropped the mic. It was 3D Monster Maze.
Huh. No, wow. That's not true.
The first game to ever show.
I don't accept your reality.
The first game to ever show blood and gore was so violent it was banned in the UK. Mortal Kombat.
I'm guessing. It was black and white though, right? Wasn't the blood white or something?
No, that's Super Nintendo. They made it look like sweat.
Okay, yeah. Are you guys sure?
No.
I'm at
bad dudes.
UK is probably the key word.
I'm saying bad dudes and Double Dragon.
All right, we'll move past Chiller. Is the name of the game.
Huh. Chiller?
What is the best-selling game console of all time?
Ooh. Super Nintendo.
Yeah. I'd
NES for Nintendo. An answer. This is the original NES. I doubt that, but...
PlayStation 2.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Let's see this move down a little bit. Okay, so Space, The Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where...
No Man's Gone Before. Oh, I think I got that one. I'll take it.
Yeah. Brent.
Nice. All right. I can't believe I got that shit.
What town in Iowa is the birthplace...
Super.
Okay, guys.
I can tell you, I can nerd in enough to tell you that you're going to ask about Captain Kirk, but I don't remember the name of the town.
Captain James T. Kirk from Star Trek. What's the birthplace?
Yeah, that one I don't know either.
I know that's where he's from, but I don't remember the city.
I'm going to give you the point just for knowing it was going towards Kirk without even finishing the question.
Yeah. Fuck is it at? I don't even know.
Davenport. I don't know.
Oh, Riverside.
Riverside.
Riverside, Canada. In what year was Windows XP released?
2008?
No, like 2002?
Dave?
2002
or 2003? 1972. It sure
fucking seems like it. Bagels.
Sure fucking seems like it. I'm saying blueberry. It was April 27, 2001.
Ooh, oh, I was close.
That was 2002.
Damn, they hated on Windows 2000. They didn't fuck around.
No, like, they did.
98 second edition, they're all Millennium 2000. That's what I was trying to, and then boom, done.
What fraternity did the nerds join in the first Revenge Lambda of the Lambda. Nerds?
Damn.
Nice.
Lambda. Yeah. Dr. Evo Robotnik is the villain in what popular Sonic video game franchise?
Sonic. Hedgehog.
I forgot about that guy.
The TV series. Damn, what the fuck?
I'm not touching it.
Forgot about that guy. All right. The TV series Firefly was a mashup of sci-fi and what other genre?
Western.
Yep. When is National Nerd Pride Day?
What?
National Nerd Pride Day.
March 14th.
It's not May the 4th, is it?
Damn, you're fucking pretty close. That was pretty good. May 25th.
I thought it was going to be Pi Day or something.
What is the fabled 13th human colony in Battlestar Galactica?
Earth.
Yeah.
What was it?
Earth.
Earth.
Oh, that's right.
A hobbit is also known as what?
Halfling.
Damn, you didn't even breathe out.
No, he didn't.
What?
A lame movie.
Brent, that's what I call him. The Hobbit.
I didn't keep thinking like a Hobbit.
What?
My feet are completely hairless. That's not true.
What profession were the two brothers from Nintendo's Mario Brothers?
Plumbers.
Oh, come on.
In The Legend of Zelda, Zelda was the name of who?
Princess.
The princess, yeah.
Link.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Say that question again.
You're just naming other characters?
Yeah, I just named somebody. You said the princess, I said Link.
You're all Ganon. Yeah. The blue ring, silver arrow, ladder,
sword,
raft, the book of fire, staff.
How many
Triforce.
Here you go.
Container
how many,
heart.
How many bits was the Nintendo
64?
Eight.
Oh, 64.
Ooh, oh, they their answer. Yeah. Dave, go. Nintendo 64 was how many bits?
On what day is Cinco de Mayo?
64.
Yeah. What does E3 stand for?
Electronic.
Yeah.
Electronics Entertainment Expo.
Nice.
Oh. I got it. True or false? Is Metroid a woman?
True.
True.
No, false. No, true. Damn it.
Giant True. Breen.
True.
Giant I'm just naming other
your,
characters.
Is that your final answer?
True is my final answer.
When did I get Hopping Eyeball?
I think it's true.
It's true. Yeah. So we skipped a few, but.
Justin Bailey, for those out there that might know about Metroid.
Justin Bailey.
Yeah, anybody know what that is?
What the fuck is
that? That's the code on the original Metroid. That you could punch in like all zeros and then Justin Bailey and you got some weird extra special suit.
All right. We want to give a shout out to our sponsors.
Yeah. We have a new sponsor this week.
Yep.
A super fancy sponsor.
Yeah. So if you don't read like me, this is perfect. We now have a sponsor through audible.com. You can get a 30-day free trial and a free book. So that's great. And I know, Brent, you've been reading.
Yeah,
listening.
I've been listening real hard to chapter 23 in double speed. I'm so, getting through it.
Yeah, so Brent's listening to some books on audible.com. You can go to audibletrial.com/SofaKingPodcast to get a 30-day free trial and a free book.
And you should really give it a try because, as we know, I'm on page 60 of some books. And on this book, I'm on fucking chapter 23.
Yep.
And I only started like a week and a half ago. Like, it makes it happen for you. It just feeds it into your ear holes. It's pretty good.
So, Audible's a good service. They have, it's.
And you should get your book on there. That's what you need to do.
I'm working on it.
And then Brent will probably fucking read it.
With his earbuds, with his
and I'll move, earbuds, I'll move with my lips. So
he can voice record it, and that will be the way he reads.
I'll
it.
Stare at a picture of Jennifer Lawrence while we do it.
We call that the Zach method of reading books. Just get a tablet and put Jennifer Lawrence up, dude.
You can read anything.
You fucking read anything while you're masturbating. He left that part out.
Yeah.
So yeah, audibletrial.com/SofaKingPodcast. Get your free 30-day trial. And a free book, and it helps support us, and we'll probably get better stuff if you do it.
Yeah, my pop stop won't fall off.
We'll get better things. Brent won't have to hold the mic the whole show.
I'll have headphones here that I don't have to drive home while you guys don't know I left. Yeah.
So you might not know it as a listener, but if you do that, you will help us tremendously because Brent's an idiot.
Yep. Thanks.
So our other sponsors. Well, who are our other sponsors?
Digital Creations, Red Ridge Beard Co. Chama, New Mexico is a great book as far as page 66.
Yeah, fucking
and it is available on Amazon.com, right?
Yes, it is.
And we need to do another offer probably for our podcast. So or figure out something.
Yeah, I will.
And also Bakersfield Skate Company. Do we have anybody we want to give anything free to this week? Or has everybody been an asshole besides Neil Stanford?
Neil's awesome.
Neil Stanifer.
Is awesome. His computer is real broke right now, though. I'm gonna fix
it. Can you quote him a price right now while we're recording?
He's definitely getting the friend price, but that shit is in like lots of pieces right now. It's in about 8 pieces.
Looks like
on
a pizza?
My counter up top.
Looks like
yeah.
a pizza.
The real question is it reassembled by the time this podcast goes out?
Probably not. We're waiting on parts. Yeah. He's got odd value capacitors.
Wow.
And I want to thank Zach and let everyone know to check out where can they hit your book up?
They can get it on Comixology. Search my Fumato or my name or the artist name, Guillermo Guerrero, any of those, and it should come up. I was also going to throw out, I traded somebody basically. I got their book. It's called New Praetorians. Artist is Satine Phoenix, and it was really good. Also, somebody else that was just like their first.
Oh, cool! They did the same thing that you did.
Yeah, and we'll put your info on our website. Cool. And
yeah, we'll put some links up there.
You don't do the same like Rhythm Ambassadors. They fucked us, fucking Ray.
He said he's gonna post it. It ain't up there yet.
I got Brent. Yeah. So we'll post your info.
Cool.
That way, people know where to find you if anybody even looks at our web shit that we spend all day on. But so that's pretty much it. Anybody else got anything to say? You want to shout out anybody besides your other?
Check out Guillermo's site. I'll have to email it to you.
Yeah, give me the link. We'll put all that stuff up.
So check out Guillermo's site at www.com, my favorite place to go. And
also check out manga.com.
Mangoes.
JenniferLawrence.net.
And don't be a retard.